This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio program is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. The videotaped arrest of Romulo Avelica Gonzalez in Los Angeles has sent shockwaves through Southern California's immigrant community. Avelica Gonzalez had just dropped his daughter off to school when his car was surrounded by two black unmarked cars. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, agents then arrested the undocumented father of four while his family watched, sobbing with fear and grief. Just days earlier, 22-year-old Daniela Vargas was also arrested just after she spoke at a press conference in Mississippi precisely about her fears of being deported. Vargas had been registered under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program enacted by President Obama. Vargas, her father, and her brother are all being held in detention in Louisiana ahead of deportation. Such incidents have instilled a deep sense of fear among undocumented immigrants, particularly those in mixed-status families, who worry about being separated from their children, parents, or siblings. My guest is Jonathan Perez. He is a development coordinator with the Immigrant Youth Coalition. Welcome to the program, Jonathan.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So first, let's talk about, before we get into the details of some of these cases, particularly Romulo's case in Southern California, what is the difference, as far as you can tell, between how President Obama targeted undocumented immigrants versus Trump? Because we have to remember this is a continuum. It's not that people were not being rounded up, detained, and deported under Obama. What is the difference between then and now?
From what we're seeing is that people are getting deported faster. And I think that, and ICE is being a lot more aggressive. They're doing this, like showing up a block away from a school. And I think that it just illustrates how ICE and immigration enforcement in general, they've been really rogue in the way in which they conduct their own policies. They follow the policies that are convenient to them. And so, yes, it's a continuum from what Obama was doing. I think that now what's a little different is the environment of fear is a lot more intensified because there is a lot more media coverage. And I think people also need to understand that before we would struggle just to have media coverage on these sorts of campaigns and cases. So, yeah, I think now people are a lot more exposed and willing to act. And that's why we had 100 people show up yesterday to the action to support Romulo's release.
Right. And let's talk about Romulo's case. And actually, we'll play a video that was taken by his daughter as she watched her father being arrested for our TV audience. You can even hear her sobbing in the background, a heartbreaking video. This is a 13-year-old girl watching her father getting arrested. Now, how unusual is it, Jonathan, for ICE to show up this close to a school? Romulo had just dropped his daughter off to a school in Southern California.
Honestly, we don't know. We're finding out of these very intense situations because people are being more open about it and really, and media is covering it. We've seen people get deported for or be in proceedings for selling mangoes. People deported for not having a bike on their a light on their bicycle, for jaywalking. Really, the gamut of situations where
you've seen that under Obama as well as Trump.
Well, we've seen that under Obama, and the story would likely be the same as the other policies that Trump also is looking to change would make us a lot more vulnerable. So the expansion of what criminal is what is important.
Right. So President Obama maintained that his administration was only prioritizing those people who had been convicted of violent felonies, And however, of course, many people during that time pointed out that there was still plenty of people being deported that were not had not been convicted of violent felonies. Under Trump, there is, as far as I can tell, no rhetoric even around prioritizing convicts, but there was some reluctance to target DACA registrants, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals registrants. What do you make of the arrest of Daniela Vargas, this 22-year-old immigrant activist, actually, who was arrested in Mississippi? So chillingly, that arrest took place right after she very bravely spoke out about her fears of being deported.
From what we see is it's not about DACA. Like, DACA was a small part of what, like, we've been working on DACA. I think that if the Trump administration would have taken away DACA, I think it would have, gotten a lot of the mainstream organizations to say something. And so I think that's a fight that maybe they're not wanting to fight. So what do? You just import, you just do it.
So you're saying that basically the official policy is to leave DACA alone. Unofficially, however, they might likely be going under DACA registrants like they've gone after Vargas. She basically had in application process to renew her DACA status when she was arrested.
Well, DACA is not a status even in immigration. It's a deferred action. Meaning they're just not going to deport you for a certain amount of years. So asylum seekers have gotten deferred action. It's the same work permit. So it's not necessarily any legal, like.
It's just a delay in deportation, basically.
It's just a delay in deportation. So in that sense, there is no actual rights that are afforded to you by DACA. And it's always in the discretion of the Immigration Customs Enforcement officer. So I think like they're given a lot of power in terms to actually carry out a deportation or not, as well as the immigration judges. And so I think what the strategy has been is just round everybody up and expand the definition of criminal and thinking with one of the executive orders that Trump also announced was also criminalizing marijuana usage. And so you look at states like California and other states that have legalized it, like those, that's again, like waging the war on drugs that many states have already said, like, no, criminalizing this is harmful to all communities. And so, for example, for immigrants, if you're caught with now marijuana, you can be deported. And that was a case before.
Even if it might be legal in the state that you live in? Because it's still illegal on the federal level.
Yes. And at the federal level, there's a separate category of called aggravated felonies that are this list of like offenses, right, that give you an added sort of bump. So if at the state level or for a U.S. citizen, it would be a misdemeanor. It sort of gets this other classification of like in between a misdemeanor and a felony. And so like that's how they've expanded and criminalized specifically the undocumented immigrant community by expanding and creating systems of criminalization.
Let's turn back to what happened with the case of Romulo. Where is he right now? Where is he being held?
So he's still in detention. And so part of the fight is, he got granted a temporary stay of removal. So we are advocating for Romulo's release. But as of now, he's in immigration detention. So what happens in Southern California, you're taken into B18, which is the Metropolitan Detention Center. But usually you get sent to Adelanto Detention Center in San Bernardino County, which is about 2.5 hours away from here. And so, and it's also been named one of the 10 worst detention centers in the country, and people have died there.
Wow.
And so, and they've been expanding in the previous years, including having a women's wing. And so, you know, it's And they're operated by a private prison corporation called GEO Group, which also lobbies and is very happy of that Trump's policies are really like bringing a lot of people, because for them it means revenue.
We just covered on our program yesterday a whole story of how private prison operators are seeing a bonanza under Trump, and they in fact did donate to his campaign for election. So how is Romulo's family faring at this moment? I imagine that some, if not all, his children were born in the U.S.?
Yeah, so he has a U.S. citizen children. I think I'm not in direct contact with the family, and we really want to, you know, keep the family in a state of mind where we can, you know, support them and not overwhelm them with, you know, like everyone wants to talk to them. And, you know, right now, especially for the children, the most important thing is like mental health and actually being able to survive and have everything they need. And so there is a fundraiser, a GoFundMe that you can find on the Facebook page and everything. And so really
we'll post a link to that from our website later today for anyone in our audience who wants to offer support. What sort of impact has his arrest been, has it had on families whose kids go to school in the school district where he was arrested? I imagine that there are people who are in similar situations, students in similar situations with undocumented parents, who fear that their parents are just going to be taken away from them.
Yeah, and that's been our reality. And so if you think about the mental health of the undocumented community, it's like it's a pretty bad situation right now and has been. And so, yeah, for people in the local community, the schools have been the one that has stepped up, as well as the surrounding community, activists in the community as well, working with Andalon and different groups to really do a deportation defense campaign, which is like an amazing thing that they're realizing that they still have power even in this moment. And so, but this also did happen in East LA. I can't say too much about the specifics, but they were actually deported, and they were leaving their house to drop off their children. And so, you know, it's Romulo's a case that, you know, we were able to, you know, get something like a stay of removal. But the fact of the matter is that they're trying to deport everyone as fast as possible, especially if they're from Mexico. If they're Mexican immigrants, ICE has a specific contract where they can deport people automatically. And so
what
is to Mexico? Yeah.
What are children to do? I mean, are children being advised to have some kind of paperwork in hand? I imagine families are being advised by lawyers to come up with some kind of contingency or emergency plan, because what happens to minors if, say, both parents are separated from the children and deported? Who will look after them? Does the state simply take them and put them in foster care, even if they might have relatives or friends?
The likelihood of them being taken into foster care is really high. And so we do suggest that families and people in general create these plans to prevent this situation with their loved ones. It's not just about keeping it within the family, but much like how we've seen that their school in Highland Park is taking this leadership, parents and, you know, community members can really reach out to their support networks like their churches. But this at some level means coming out of the shadows. And I think that people should feel okay with coming out to the shadows in order to create a support network. And I think
at least within their immediate community and with people that they trust. I mean, you basically have to plan for the worst case scenarios. You know, I mean, for a parent to lose their child and to be separated from their child is unimaginable. And so you have to find someone to take care of your child in case you're just disappeared by ICE.
And I'll also bring up that a lot of us have companions, animals, emotional support dogs, So when we're taken, there's also like that. We need to, like, that's, we don't want them, you know, just like our own children, right? Thinking about like, what are these like things that really are damaging, not just to people, but to everything around us. A lot of people with disabilities really are left vulnerable, even within detention. And so, and again, like all the vulnerable, like more targeted communities, like are set to lose. And right now, for example, we're supporting another person who's in ICE custody, Valeria de la Luz, who's a transgender woman from Mexico, who is an asylum seeker and was criminalized here in the United States. And so we've been actually showing up with a lot of community members to her court hearings. And it's making a difference because people are showing support for these folks. And so we can also share information for people that also want to help people that are, you know, needing support with court, because not everyone has a family here in the United States.
Right.
Not everyone has that support network. But, you know, for folks that are refugees that are coming and fleeing this violence, we need to, you know, do something a little extra to like help them out.
Now, are people who get arrested automatically granted court hearings, or are they sometimes not even given that privilege and simply deported before they can even make a case for why they should remain in the U.S.? Or does it depend on a case-by-case basis?
It's their discretion.
We've
been able to stop deportations like the day of that they get picked up, and they're already on a bus to San Diego to take them to the border. And so and those are very scary moments, especially for us and the families and the people that are impacted, because literally we need to do it within hours. And so, but, and that also shows us that we, even at that moment when they're on the bus getting driven to Mexico, that we still have the ability to stop it. And I think that's what like this like campaign to release Romulo is showing us, that we also still have some power.
So Jonathan, finally, it sounds like what is really needed in terms of community involvement is not just sort of grassroots activists showing up in support, particularly those who might be citizens and so don't have to fear as much, to show their solidarity on the ground in the courtrooms, but also immigration lawyers offering, you know, because these are often poor families. If you're undocumented, you're much more likely to be low income. So even immigration lawyers sort of stepping up to the plate to help out and offer pro bono representation.
Of course, there's always. In times like these, you know, lawyers always show up. I think the fact is that we also don't have enough. And so it's really hard. And they're also overwhelmed with the amount of like cases that are being brought to their table. I think that one thing that we've been working on as the Immigrant Youth Coalition as well is pushing for the universal representation legislation at the county and statewide level to provide those legal resources to immigrants, because most immigrants do not have legal representation coming into their proceedings. So how are they going to defend themselves?
Right.
But I think that that's what we also need to push our mayor of the city of Los Angeles and elected officials, because they're trying to create carve outs and exclude people that have convictions from those legal services, exclude them from due process, exclude them from being able to benefit from, you know, these resources, which is completely a racialized issue. And so really we need also people to act and push their local elected officials and policymakers to really include everyone, because through that's a trap that they've set. They want to scare us with criminals and all these things, but it's like, we're all criminals. We've all had to survive. And so you can shame us, you can hold us accountable, but, you know, right now is, we have to understand that their strategy is to demonize the criminal so they can come after all of us.
Jonathan, give out a website for the Immigrant Youth Coalition.
Yes, so it's www.theyc.org, or theiyc.org. And we can also be found on Twitter at Immigrant Power, as well as on Facebook. You can just search us and our local chapters.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck with your work.
Thank you so much.
My guest is Jonathan Perez, Development Coordinator with the Immigrant Youth Coalition. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes, as well as Vimeo.